Johnson County Commissioners have come to session. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, you have circulated the minutes from November 1, 2022. Commissioners, were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
They were good.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, we do have one item that we need to add to the agenda. After we discuss the Yoder Minor Subdivision, the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission has called us for comment. This call came in late yesterday afternoon regarding the Ellis land sale. It's in southern KC, and I'll explain that when we get to it. So that is an item that is added to the agenda after the Yoder Subdivision. Commissioner Greeno, if you would pass this over to our county clerk. The emergency management coordinator has circulated an updated draft to the winter weather closure and snow plan. I'd like to place this on our agenda for December 6th. Mr. Craig, we'll need you to review a copy of this as well so that we can get that updated. Madam Clerk, she's got a section in there on closure pay that I definitely would like you to look at. And then Scott, we'll have you take a look at this because she mentions the snow removal policy to see if you have any updates to that as well. So if we could have comments back to Marilyn by December 6th so that we could act on updating that. That's part of her emergency management planning process. Any questions on that?
No, she spoke with me about it.
Okay. All right, well then let's move in to our regular agenda. And Jody, I believe we had a resolution that was misnumbered, and that was the veterans mental health resolution. What number do we need to assign to that resolution?
We need to assign it 692.
So that is the correct?
That's the correct number.
So do you need a motion just to change the number on Project Greenlight?
If we could, I don't think we need to reread the resolution. It just got misnumbered.
Yeah,
so
we've done that before. All right, move to change the number to on Operation Greenlight to 692.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. It looks like in your folder there is a question on a couple board appointments. I do see on the top there was one individual interested in the lodging tax board. Jody, what's the question on the solid waste board?
I had an email this morning saying that the individual who had expressed interest pulled his interest. So okay. We do not have one for the solid waste board at this time.
All right, and that's a January appointment anyway, unless, was that a present vacancy?
That was a present vacancy.
Okay. All right, so we'll continue to advertise that. I guess, commissioners, the question is, based off of the discussions this morning at the City County Breakfast, you've got Commissioner Perry, Councilman-elect Madden, and that board going to work on Strum review of bylaws and strategic planning. Do you want to act on this vacancy today, or would you like to defer it to January when we make the other board appointments?
I'd like to defer it to January. I'll have a chance to have some discussion with the JCCA board, some of the past members.
I'm in agreement.
Okay. All right. It looks like we're trucking right along. I do not see our library director here, so I'd like to welcome up our Road and Bridge director, Mr. Scott Perringer, to update us on CMAQ.
Basically, I come in front of you this morning to ask for signatures from Chairman Novotny on our project cost reimbursement statement, and that's on our 21-22 CMAQ dust abatement that we did this spring of 22. The reimbursement is at $426,742. And we just need to get that done so we can get this project closed out and finished up. Pretty open and shut on that.
Well, I'll make the motion to approve the road and bridge request for on the CMAQ.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion or questions for the road bridge supervisor on the congestion mitigation air quality, or known as CMAQ, or as we like to call it, dust abatement? Questions for the road and bridge supervisor? Hearing none, commissioners, there is a motion before you. All those in favor of approving signature on the contract with Wyoming Department of Transportation in Johnson County for this final payout on the match, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Aye.
Smith is here on behalf of the library.
Okay.
Good. Okay. I just had a couple other quick things I
Absolutely.
Wanted to touch on. North Fork Crazy Woman Canyon Bridge. Last week we went through the 30% engineering completion of plans and so forth. Like I said, we went through the review. That review is done. Then we had a meeting at the end of the week and reviewed everybody's comments and stuff. The thing that really come home on that was original bridge cost was about $2.4 million. After the revised plan and everything, that bridge with 8% inflation for this year shown and 6% for next year, total cost on that bridge will be about $1,050,000. So that's a considerably less amount of dollars there to be spent. The remaining of that we would have on that match would be $80,000, which we were pulling that out of our county road fund. So that's a considerable savings for the county. I was glad to see that come through. I always thought that number was awful high anyway. Then I was just going to take just a minute. We did receive a letter of award for our CMAQ dollars for this year, which we always pretty much knew that we got $315,366. That'll be a $78,842 match for the county, which that's in our budget. We did not receive the full funding, so we chose to step out there, and we've got some dollars in our budget that will go on ahead and match the difference in the whole project. So we'll move ahead with that. The scary part about that is to see what those bids come in later, as you know, everything keeps going up, and with the railroad, where that product comes in by the railroad, that's pretty, I mean, when their union's asking for 25% raises for their employees, I imagine that gets passed right on to the users of that. So the other one that we had last spring, we did apply for a TAPA grant for the South Bypass Trail. We were awarded that. We were awarded $1,131,125. The match on that would be $118,875. Of course, that match, as we work through that project with the city of Buffalo and the school district, that match would come down. That would be split by three ways. So as we get closer and closer on this project. So we'll be having some meetings around the first of the year. We need to all sit down and regroup. We're not quite for sure how this is going to there's some detail. We talked pretty serious of wrapping this into the Main Street North-South Bypass project. There's a few little hiccups we need to work out there, so we don't know quite yet if we're going to piggyback on that or if it's going to be a standalone project. It just there's some things that we need to get figured out, and like I said, we're working on those now, and we need to get that done so that then YDOT can get that contract to us. And that's going to depend on if we piggyback on or if we don't. So it could possibly be a standalone project, or ideally the goal would be to piggyback on, but we'll just have to weigh that. Like I said, there's been a couple little hiccups that we got to figure out and so forth. Most of it's on timing of the two projects and so forth, and then some a little bit of it is that North Main, or North Main, North Bypass, South Bypass, the size of that project. And then when you start pushing, adding, you're pushing that project into multiple years. So that's something that's going to be considered too. So, but that's kind of what I had at Road and Bridge. So.
Scott, I really appreciate your stewardship of that project in particular. And yeah, we can get through the Thanksgiving holiday and sit down and look at where we are and then get the stakeholders together. I know Mr. Oski is very, very interested in this. It's safe routes to school. Certainly, I think everybody saw the letter in the bulletin with concerns about lighting at that intersection. And this is certainly an ongoing discussion we'll have with YDOT about ways to make that a safer intersection. I know Commissioner Greeno would have loved to have gotten her stoplight at the other intersection that was mentioned in that letter, but YDOT isn't just handing out stoplights.
No.
And I'd remind everybody too, YDOT does have a scoping meeting this Thursday evening at the library at 5 o'clock. So if you got questions, please attend. That's the time to voice your opinion. And I think they're to the grading point of the plan. So there's still time to look at things and so forth. And I know I've seen several comments about the lighting on the or South Bypass and South Main Street intersects. So, and I think there was an accident up there about a week ago. So it seems like that's, there's always, of course, we had one earlier this year. We hate to see those on South Bypass. Some school kids that you always hate to, anybody having a wreck, but it'd be a great time to bring that kind of stuff up. That's what the meeting's about. So
they're tired of me, Scott.
Yep. So you just need to bring lots of friends.
And I'm going to go ahead and carry the torch.
Oh, you are? Okay. Thank you.
No longer able to, because there seems to be a big traffic problem in the summer.
Well, too, is what we got to look at. Some things have changed out there. You have property at the end of South Main Cemetery Road that is going to be developed. There's a subdivision that's going in there, so there's going to be more traffic there. There's potential for that property across the road there that's for sale that goes back towards the interstate. So, I mean, that's kind of prone out there to grow. So I think they need to be looking ahead and so forth. So.
And, Scott, I'd wondered on that piece of property with your application for road entry waypoint, we'd be looking at like a 200-foot setback from those intersections anyway?
You'd be looking at, ours says 320 feet.
320
feet. Some of that has to do a little bit with the speed limit, but I think where you have that speed limit of what is bypasses 50 miles an hour, which just seems, we've looked at that a couple times and it just, that seems, I think it's high, personally. But I know in the past we looked at that, and actually we got beat that back down on that a little bit. We had a couple that thought that it needed to be that way. So, but that's something that, as that traffic flow increases and stuff, you know, you need to be looking at those speed limits and so forth. So,
and as we do that north project, is there any chance? Because I know under state statute we have to have a traffic study to adjust the speed limits, because the Wyoming legislature, in their infinite wisdom, doesn't think that we know how to set speed limits. So is that something that we could do during that process?
I think it is, because actually we have part of that data as we do those, every time we do those traffic counts, those are the most important thing, is those traffic counts. And of course ours record the speeds, and that's what they look at, is the speeds and so forth, and what people are actually driving the road versus to what they're what it's posted. So there's a lot of data out there. So because I know YDOT is, I try to count that at least once a year. I know YDOT counts it at least once or twice a year. They just need to schedule their counters maybe a little different times a year, because that's what I do. I look at, you know, I always try to get that count, especially on North Bypass. And those, I always count, like fair or rodeo. I take those bigger weekends and count those, because I think they they reflect the true numbers. So.
Other questions for the Road and Bridge Supervisor? Well, we always enjoy seeing you. We don't necessarily like seeing you move in snow this early. But
yes, it's too early for winter. but it was, can't complain. It's been a beautiful fall. Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, I see we've been joined by our library director. So, Steve, you're welcome to bring members of your board up. Good morning.
So I guess just to get right to it, you can see there we have a request to waive the hiring freeze, and that request is for me. I've submitted my resignation to the board, effective as of the January 23rd board meeting. Nothing wrong, just I have well, some people in the community probably know I do writing stuff on the side, and I've had an opportunity come up that after talking with my family, it would be the right move for me to make. Not a physical move, because I'll still be here in the community, but that's what we've decided to do at this point. Figured it was just easier to just kind of,
just
put it out there.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was not something I foresaw at all. It was just one of those things that life kind of, throws in front of you, and there it is.
And I've done the required fussing.
She did. She did a very good job. She did a very good job. So.
Library board has been very good at keeping this under their hat.
Linda's a professional fussy.
A professional. They're going to miss me.
Yes,
we
are going to miss Linda.
Not to say there isn't somebody else out there, Linda, but we will miss you.
Yeah, yes. She's been great.
Well, Steve, we're very obviously disappointed to hear that we're going to lose you, and you helped guide our library through COVID in a pretty uncertain time. And what was fantastic about that is the fact that we continued to provide services. Mm-hmm. People were able to get books and materials when other libraries across the country, and your reopening plan, I know, was borrowed by other libraries across the state and across the region, which says a lot about the work that you and your staff did. So, and certainly we appreciate all your work with Friends of the Library and raising those extra dollars to get the missions there. So I'm surprised, frankly, this morning, but also I wish you the very, very best in this future endeavor. And I think it's always fantastic when we can follow our dreams, and when we can find a way to do it so that you don't have to leave Buffalo. That's even better.
Thank you. Yeah, well, like you said, I was surprised too. I didn't, like I said, foresee this coming anytime soon, but it did. So that's it's just funny how life does that sometimes.
It's an opportunity for him.
I really have to thank the board too. They've been tremendous. We've had a lot of turnover in the board, not a bad thing, but just with term limits and things like that, we've had a lot of new members. They've learned really quick. They've done a really good job of latching on to some of the issues that have come up, and looking ahead at things like various projects and work that we've done with the KC branch and things like that. So, yeah.
I have a question.
Wait till hiring freeze.
Well, hang on.
Gotta let him do it.
Because I'd like to hear from the board about their plan, path forward. And certainly I'd like to give them an opportunity, especially because they do have the press here, if they'd like to say anything about Steve's tenure at the library. So, ladies, the floor is yours.
Go ahead, Margaret. Well, I have a couple of things. We did a review that, thank goodness, Terry Urity came up with a really good job assessment for a director that Steve pretty much shot the top off of all of the things that we had expected of him. So it's pretty hard to find somebody that, he came in under Cynthia, but then stepped up. I came in just about the time he came on board, and it's just been kind of a case of, I was not real happy to find out he was leaving. But at any rate, I just wanted to say that he's done an exceptionally fine job in pretty much every area, just across the board. So we're kind of, as you are, kind of trying to stumble our way through this. I do have a question, and that is, who will replace Linda? Not that anybody can replace Linda, but who is going to be following in her footsteps?
We'll do our board appointments from the commission in January.
In January, so we won't
to assign those liaisons. So,
okay. Well, the reason I ask that is it has to do with as we go through our process. I mean, she's the chair, and I'm just mostly just jumping in because I'm a fuss budget, and I'm also one of those kind of people that just came.
We work very well together.
I just am, you know, the anxiety level if you don't have somebody that's on the commission to kind of also give us some feedback. That's why I was asking. So she'll be there for. You're not a lame duck, by the way.
So, pretty lame.
So anyway, that's my comment, my question. So.
Well, there would be somebody on the commission that. Fills in. We're not going to take Linda's place by any means, but we'll fill in.
Yeah. I know that Commissioner, like Shelley or you and I, we really don't want to wear our shoes because they're pointy and they have to be peak. It'd be pretty uncomfortable.
Probably not, yeah.
We will find somebody that can wear some shoes that will leave a footprint.
People would talk, Bill. Let me tell you.
So.
So the fortunate part is that, you know, being library people, the fact that we like to document things and have lots of paperwork and collect things, we do have a process that's in place that the board can modify that was used in previous times and is really just a little more complex version of the process we use when we hire other staff. So we've got that kind of thing in place.
So what is the board kind of thinking in terms of timeline of when you will open the position, when you'll do your search, and when is your goal of having position of director filled, who's going to be your interim director, kind of what can you do to assuage our concerns that might come up as you go through your transition?
Well, we hope to be able to get everybody together so we can hammer out these details. Our first goal was getting it listed as far-reaching as we can to get a good variety of potential applicants. So we did the State Library Board, ALA, and locally, of course. And so our meeting is on the 21st, and we hope to have a clear path forward. We left it open until filled. We didn't want to box ourselves in. If we have to figure out, if we don't have the right person hired by the time he has to leave, we'll make a contingent plan for that.
And my goal is to stick on as long as I can so that I can train somebody else.
A transition period, correct.
Period.
Mm-hmm. At least give them a start if it's somebody that's not in-house.
Exactly.
And I will say that, you know, one of the things when you walk in there to the library, if you spend time there, you know that the staff, especially Heather Kazara, has really, you know, worked in alignment with Steve. So there are a lot of times when he was on vacation or something happened, she was able to step. I mean, I went in there and everybody's hair was on fire one day with everything, the technology messing up. And yet they just step in. And so right now, I think we've got the confidence of knowing that there's some really good people on staff. He's hired some good people. And so that part, it's just that none of us were ready. We found out last week and we're hyperventilating the thing, but I think we're starting to calm down. So,
and I try to make it my goal to, I guess, cross-train is the best word for it, as many people as we can in various tasks and things, especially the forward-facing things that help out the public, but also some of the more back of the house, I guess you could say, so that in the instance of Heather, for example, if I'm out, then she knows how to do, you know, the basics of getting bills paid and things like that the board can sign.
He's done a very good job of that. Mm-hmm. They're all very competent.
And it occurred to me at some point, you know, when we were looking at those kind of things, you know, if you have any one person who's out for an extended period, sick, or heaven forbid something happens like they're in an accident, then you've got this kind of gap that you can't really do anything with. So, yeah, that's what my goal was with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have your motion already. You're dawdling.
I don't know what in a second.
Commissioner Greeno has made a motion to waive the county hiring freeze to replace the outgoing library director. Is there a second?
That's an okay motion.
I have a motion and a second. Commissioners, any discussion?
Not happy about it, but it is what it is. We wish him well.
I was going to say, I'm happy to see you moving on to something that you're going to enjoy and you want to do. I've never been one to stand in the way of somebody making changes in their life for something that they really want to do.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of waiving the hiring freeze, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we let you sneak away, any questions from the public or press for the outgoing library director or the library board? Kate.
Steve, could you just clarify what it is you're going on to do?
I'm actually going to be working for a company that ghostwrites books. So they hire the company when they want to write, say, a self-help book or a memoir or something like that. But the person who's doing it doesn't have necessarily that skill set to be able to do it. And we interview them verbally, and then it gets transcribed, and we modify all that and turn it into a book.
Is that another way of saying you're going to become a ghostwriter?
Yeah, basically. I didn't know how many people knew what a ghostwriter was, so I just figured I should explain it out.
Thank you.
Doing.
No, but, interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Well, we would ask that as you're working on people's memoirs that you not tell them anything about Buffalo or Johnson County in those books.
No,
we're full.
I've already done pretty well because I have. Yeah, I had done a little bit of this, you know, on the side here and there, a couple hours here and there, and the couple of clients I've worked with have all been from the East Coast and enjoying their warm weather, and so I turn my camera and say, "Look, it's snowing outside," and they go, "Oh,
good works."
You know, they're not happy with that.
Well, I think it's a good thing. I tell you, it'd been nice if we'd have had somebody collecting memoirs from interesting people that have lived here in the past.
I tell you, if you get a chance, you should make an appointment with Nancy Tabb over at the library. She has been doing some more of the oral history gathering recordings. I forget who she just did recently. But they've also been getting those transcribed and things. And we're hoping, I mean, and I can still help out with this project because I'm not going to just disappear because I can't. But she and a couple of volunteers are working on a project to take a bunch of these oral histories and put them into a book. So that's something that's been kind of a side project for a while now. And I'm not sure when the final date is on that, but I'm hoping we can still get that going.
There's a huge archive in our library, Bob, that is really pretty stellar.
Yeah.
They've done a tremendous job of getting that stuff transcribed. It's very, very
good. A lot of good interviews in there.
Lots of good ones. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you all.
Have a wonderful day, and again, thank you for your service to the county.
Appreciate it. We'll keep you guys apprised of what we're up to.
Commissioners, it is that time of year again to set the holidays for 2023. So before you is Resolution 693, Resolution approving official holidays for Johnson County employees for the year of 2023. Whereas pursuant to Wyoming Statute 18-3-103, as amended, the Board of County Commissioners may designate official holidays for the employees of Johnson County. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners has made a decision regarding official holidays for the employees of Johnson County for calendar year 2023, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Johnson County, the following official holidays are hereby authorized. Monday, January 2nd, 2023, New Year's Day, Monday, January 16th, 2023, Equality Day, February 20th, 2023, President's Day, April 7th, 2023, Good Friday, Monday, May 29th, 2023, Memorial Day, Tuesday, July 4th, 2023, for the 4th of July, September 4th, 2023, Labor Day, Friday, November 10th, 2023, would be the day after Veterans Day because of the way the holiday falls on the calendar, November 23rd, 2023, Thanksgiving Day. November 24th, 2023, the Thanksgiving holiday. Monday, December 25th, 2023, Christmas Day. Approved and adopted this 15th day of November, 2022.
Move to approve resolution 693.
I have a motion.
I'll second it, but it was the day before Veterans Day.
Yes. Friday that 10th, yes. And Jody, was there anything that needed to be clarified on that floating day?
I didn't know if you wanted to entertain that thought or not.
I think we're probably good with where we are here, and we'll go with it.
We'll go with what?
With
the what's proposed.
The resolution is presented. So, Madam Clerk, any thoughts as you look at it for one final time?
Chairman Devine, no.
Okay.
I think it looks fine.
Commissioners, there is the resolution. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
I've got
sorry.
I thought we had.
All right, I've got a motion in a second. Sorry.
You stumped us, Bill.
Yes, we did.
Loss of oxygen to the brain or something. All those in favor of approving Resolution 693, setting the holidays for 2023, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Perry, that's why we love you. Can't do no wrong. So I also have a little bit of good news in conversation with our clerk, or that quarterly we certify this amount of legal costs associated with our collection of ad valorem, and it is at this point $400. So because it takes the treasurer some time to do the back end math on this, I'm going to have asked that we set that $400 aside, and we'll certify that amount in January when hopefully we are at resolution. So there is not anything that needs to be actioned on that unless you want to go after the school district and the special districts for their share of $400.
Well, as much as I'd like to, Bill, I think we should set it aside for right now and be very thankful that it's only $400 this time.
Oh, it's going to be funny.
We're setting a precedent. That's most we're going to spend from now on.
Yeah. Mr. Berry, I hope so. Do you have the next item on the agenda? Is a request. The Bureau of Land Management has been forced to re-examine the sage grouse plan for the state of Wyoming. And so I'm asking permission that Johnson County participate in this process using our cooperating agency status. You'll remember that we just went through revisions to the Buffalo Field Plan, and we were able to provide comment on that regarding the socioeconomic impacts to Johnson County, and also where their action would be in disagreement with our land use plan, which would be in violation of the National Environmental Policy Act. So I would ask for permission so that I can attend more meetings and write more letters.
No, Bill, this is an important one to keep an eye on, and we found that out earlier. I think it's vital.
Yeah, I do. I'll tell you what, they're going to just keep fooling with them and list them, and it's economic. It's going to be an economic disaster for Johnson County.
Beyond just energy, ag, recreation, absolutely, Commissioner Perry. So, is there a motion to approve Johnson County to use its cooperating agency status and sign the MOU with the Bureau of Land Management?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Waller, I believe you advertised this at 9:40 to interested parties, or?
It hasn't been advertised. Okay. It's only just placed on your agenda.
All right. Well, then, if you're not dealing with a time constraint on when we can consider that on the agenda, then I'd go ahead and welcome you up, and I'm assuming Brent is the surveyor engineer of record on this.
Yes.
So we'll bring him up as well.
I figured I just with how last Tuesday's meeting or 2 weeks ago was. Let me make sure. But I didn't know the county's subdivision regulations require the plat to be presented to the board at the next most convenient meeting. So before the board, I decided to do this a little bit differently, and I kind of did based on the feel of the public out there, verbal comments that have come in over the last 4 or 5 months. So first and foremost is I gave you guys just a 2-page facts and recommendations, and then we had the reports that were attached to it plus all the written comments. And I don't really want to go through and rehash everything because I did give it to you, but this, very quickly, the subdivision was submitted back in July and placed on Planning and Zoning's agenda to be classified as a minor subdivision. At that point in time, I reviewed basically the proposal, got an idea where it was located. There were some civil covenants that were filed on the property that would restrict and prohibit various land uses, controlled how the property could be subdivided, mainly by number of lots and how big the lot size. So as this processed forward, the board decided in August to go ahead and allow it as a minor subdivision with the consistent with the county regulations. It began moving forward. After the August decision on the sketch plan, we notified the adjacent neighbors and put a notice in the Buffalo paper, or the applicant did. We had a formal preliminary plan review in September. Lots of comments were voiced verbally. Nothing was actually submitted in writing, and there was some evidence about the number of houses on the property, so the board decided to get further details and further information on the number of houses throughout the property. That information was reevaluated in October, so we had 2 preliminary plat meetings. Basically, it's when we discovered that there was an acquisition of a ranch out off of Traving Road, and that some of this housing on the property was going to be going out to this other ranch. More verbal comments. Nothing in writing was submitted until the night before the final plat was to be considered on November 1st. And most of the comments that came in were not really geared and associated to what the subdivision was that we're regulating. A lot of the comments were voiced at other land use issues, concerns happening on Traving Road, plus the concern of a large ranch selling and potentially going to be subdivided, which, yes, but they also exercise the same laws that other landowners have done in the county to acquire large acreage parcels. So buy the ranch if it's for sale and you don't want it to be split up is what I recommend. But as we moved forward, I decided late Monday night on Halloween to give the board all of the reports and then write together facts and findings of what we actually deciphered and went through. So the reports were given to the board. They listened to a lot of public comment on November 1st, and I gave all the board members on Planning and Zoning all those comments. I don't know how you can really address a lot of the concern when basically it's changes coming, and some of the changes coming might not be what we necessarily want or like to see, given the fact that most people are looking out across landscapes and see open space and prairie. And when that open space and prairie might have a house on it, that really affects people. But we're the smallest state in the United States. We're going to grow. If we're not going to grow,
then we need to do what we want to do to protect it. And I don't think it's just our county. I think this is statewide. This, we're the smallest state in the United States. And we have been for ever, you know, for 70, 75 plus years, we've been really teeny. And if we want to stay rural and open the way we are, I think this is a bigger conversation, not just Johnson County's conversation. This is a Wyoming question and concern. Otherwise, I think most planners in Wyoming see planning and zoning is going to be imperative in how we move forward into the future. And things are going to change, and our growing pains are going to be a little bit difficult as we go forward, because it's always been an open state, and we're seeing stuff that's going to get developed. You know, we're going to see ranches split and sell off and become something different. This property was underneath the Trading View Acres, what was called Trading View Acres, as filed under a bunch of warranty deeds plus some covenants back in 1999 that allowed a family to create 35-acre parcels and allow the option for the resulting heirs of all those parcels to split and create 10 acres or up to 10 acres. The way the covenants were written, affecting Yoder, this Yoder minor subdivision, they were written to basically 10 acres was the density. How many times a 10-acre parcel could get split out of that was controlled by the covenants. The complaints are covenant-related. And so planning and zoning took a lot of comments. I think, you know, Bill was there and Barry was there. Jake Wright from Nelson was there. We had a full board. I had two members on the phone. But we filled that room on Monday, the 1st. I think it was important that not only were people against the development there, but they're, and I'm saying a one lot, 12.77 acre parcel, that's the development that we were discussing. I think it was important for the Yoder family plus some of their family members and friends to come. So we had several people supporting Daniel and Anna Yoder and their venture to create this one lot. But I also know I had made arrangements to meet with the Amish on November 2nd to deal with the ranch that they had acquired and figure out where they're going to build, what they're going to do, and review what is required by Wyoming's laws for building and developing. So when I actually spoke with Daniel about this, you know, I think it was, he didn't feel bad about what he heard at the meeting. He didn't feel bad about the comments. The board did not read the comments directly at the meeting. They listened. They heard. I think they realized that they do need to do things to be neighborly. But some comments that came back after planning and zoning's meeting were, what about everybody that walks their dogs down Traving Road? What about the other people that are riding horses down Traving Road? What about the kids that are riding bicycles that are other neighbors riding down the county road? It's not just one side of the token, it's both sides. And so I recognize that pain. And like I said, I think we're going to see pains of different uses. So I think when the board listened to all the comments, I think Travis did a really good job of listening and hearing what the concerns are. I don't want to dismiss them and say they're not valid. I think it is very valid. I just don't know if it's planning and zoning's issues or there are other issues. Obviously, we've got road concerns. We've got litter concerns. We've got trespassing. Those are not planning and zoning. That's the sheriff. You know, in some instances, like I did recommend, you know, not recommend, but if the neighbors that are underneath the covenants don't want this, you know, go enforce the covenants. The county is prohibited from enforcing the covenants. But we do review to make sure that it's consistent with subdividing, because that we can control subdividing. All in all, I think this is a pretty straightforward subdivision, if you want to know the truth. It would have been a family exemption had the state law not been changed in 2018. He's doing the one lot parcel for his family member. And this morning I got an email, and that was the question, is how many subdivisions are we going to see that should have been for a family, you know, 5 years ago, and today they're going to be subdivisions, and that was coming out of Fremont County. And I think we're going to see more and more and more in Wyoming, because we're experiencing some growth. And with that, I don't really have any more. The reports were in there. The comments are pretty straightforward. I did share them with Brent and Jake Wright with Nelson Engineering. I talked to Daniel and Anna Yoder pretty extensively about the concerns. I don't know. Does the board have any questions?
Jim, just for the benefit of the other two commissioners, would you just walk through the family exemption and the changes, and how long under the new state law people have to hold a piece of property if it is subdivided under the family exemption, just so they have that piece of information?
Okay. So back, just a brief, fast history. 2000, the legislature created the family exemption. By 2001, they put stipulations on the family exemption for time frames of when you could claim a family exemption and then how long the family member had to retain ownership. And you fast forward now over 20 years, the legislature changed the law in about 2010, and they went, yeah, once you acquire a piece of property, you have to keep it in your name at that time for 5 years, then you could claim a family exemption. Your family member had to keep it in their name for 1 year. So we had what was considered a 5-in-1. 2008 came along, and the legislature changed it to 10. And they said, so once you acquire an initial piece of property, you have to keep it in your name for 10 years before you could transfer it to the family member. That family member then had to keep it in their name for a certain time frame. It became 10 and 5 in 2018. In 2019, the legislature knew, I mean, a lot of planners knew, you got to watch that retroactively. You can't just go in and... The counties were doing it, so the legislature corrected that and said, based on February 27th, 2019, so any parcel after that is subject to 10 years, and any parcel before that is subject to 5. I think it's the same application of the retainer. So if somebody acquires a family parcel today, they have to own it for 10 years, then they could transfer it to the family member. That family member has to keep it for 5 years. So if you acquired it in 2018, and this is why it was imperative with Yoders, they bought their property in 2020, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, May 6th, 2020. So they have to keep it in their names for 10 years, and then they'd have to, if they deeded that at that point to the daughter, she'd have to keep it for 5 years. So a lot of these simple splits are going to roll into being subdivisions just by virtue of trying to shut down families creating subdivisions. And the intent at the legislature's intent was to try and keep families on the family ranch. Well, what it did is it's allowed families to split up family ranches, not keep them on the family ranch. If it's really imperative that a family ranch stay intact, they don't deed it to anyone. They just figure out how to keep the kids on the ranch and get a house. If you're in about buying a piece of property and then, you know, getting every one of your family members, well, I did a review down Traving Road, and there is a family that acquired numerous parcels over the last 20 years and did family exemptions. We took them to court to shut that down. And I think right now we're just going to see more and more of these situations.
What's the potential for this? You were talking to me about, Jim and I talked a month ago, 6 weeks ago, about this. And give us the numbers that you were giving me that left me stunned when I left your office.
And it's, so I had to back up for a moment and think about sewage. And everything is hinged on water and sewer. And so some of the comments, how many houses can you have, how many skid structures. So I did talk to DEQ after you and I visited, but I threw out there an analysis And it was based on the talk on the street of 1,000 acres getting sold, or 1,100 acres getting sold and split into numerous parcels. So I asked, how many houses could you potentially have on that raw piece of property? The state's rules look at it from 5 acres and how dense you get with the water and sewer in that 5-acre setting. So what we looked at was how many potential 35-acre parcels would come out of that ranch, how many 5-acre parcels existed within each 35 acres, and how many houses would then correspond to those 5-acre areas. And it was then looked at for how many bedrooms, and I came up with 2,408 bedrooms. And I know that sounded really crazy, and we then cut it, and I looked at how many houses is that if you had a single family situation. So it's about 820 houses. And I did talk to DEQ, and they're like, 800, and looking at the rules and the situation and knowing the water and sewer solution for the residents, I don't think that's out of question. I don't think they're going to do that in the long run, but I think if we're looking at it from how many houses can you have and how many houses can you control, well, like DEQ said, imagine five-bedroom houses sitting on 5 acres and the water and sewer solution. Now apply that to the families that are buying these ranches. Do they live in five-bedroom houses that are McMansions? And the answer is no. And the other thing they don't do is they don't have a lot of waste water, and the rules are geared on waste water. So if they live in these outhouse, you know, in a vaulted situation with an outhouse, how many can we have? And it would be quite a few.
Now speak to the outside consequences of this, specifically the Scott's end of it, Rod, our sheriff's end of it, because those were really eye-opening to me.
I think you're just going to see more and more and more pressure on the services, the road and bridge, more and more land conflict with neighbors, and like the sheriff would happen to respond more. Obviously right now there are some people in some those comments that have said, you know, look at the litter that's going on out there. I also spoke with a few people. I don't think it's any different along a county road in littering than it is on the state highway. It's the same applicable laws, but it's law enforcement, it's not planning and zoning. And it's not gonna stop it. And this is the question that these comments are coming in. They wanna stop it and stop and eliminate this. A lot of those residents live on 35 acres that were created using Wyoming's laws. And this family is using Wyoming's laws and the county regulations to do something. I have a hard time when we have laws that allow us to do something and then a family wants to use the same laws and the citizens are like, no. You moved to the wrong state. And then when these are the pains that I keep getting phone calls, and Barry and I've talked about some of these phone calls because I know he's gotten some of these calls in his office. And I think planning and zoning hit it on the head with the last comments. Is the sheriff's office, the road and bridge, if there's cattle out, there's ways to address the livestock at large. We are a fence out state. So if you have things happening out there that are land use solutions or land use problems or issues, I'm encouraging everybody to be neighborly and remember who their neighbor is, because it could be a lot worse. We could have a whole lot of different kind of neighbors, but I think we have low impact neighbors at this point, and it could be something really different. Travis was called, and I don't know, Brent would know more. Travis mentioned that the Rodner parcel that did split and get sold, all 12 parcels have been transferred to new landowners. The developer that they had heard was inquiring about subdividing that. 1,100 acres into like 200 lots.
Like 240 lots. Was the original.
Was the original.
But I don't think that they wanted to see that happen with the property, was the way that I understood it. So it went the way it is, the way it got split up now, was the way that was more preferred into the larger lots on the ranch piece.
So it's, we're going to see some pains, I think, and I don't know how you, you know, we've always had this discussion, how far out of town do you stretch? Because the services just keep getting pushed further and further. And right now, this is almost 4 miles out down Traving Road from the intersection of U.S. Highway, Old Highway 87 down Traving. You know, you're probably pushing, I don't know, about 11 miles out to get to that intersection. So it's 15 miles, I suppose. It's a couple miles past your place to get to Traving. So I just worry about how we keep pushing those services further away from our population center and the strain on the services. 911, fire. I mean, we know that a lot of the families moving in out in this area are not going to go to public school. We already know that. But we also, I also am smart enough to know that when you look around, these are communal areas. This is going to be a community. I'm nervous about how many potential people might be living down Traving Road. No different than I'm worried, you know, wondering and curious about how many people are going to be living by Lake DeSmit.
Monument Road, TW Road, Lake Ridge Road. Yeah.
I mean, in 10 years, there's 35 new houses off TW Road in 10 years. There's potential for 250 houses off Monument at the Monument exit on I-90. I see more people living out by Lake DeSmit than in the town of Casey in short order.
Okay. Just wanted you to give some perspective with what's happening.
I think it's part of that hard question of what do you want? I did put some questions up on the board. They're for me, and I keep modifying the questions. So the last question I updated was, you know, just trying to get planning and zoning to think about what a mission statement is for the comprehensive plan, think about goals, and then think about a vision for where do we see our community and our county? Because we haven't got to this point in time without having a vision and goals. I mean, so it's kind of, we're at this apex, we're at the top, and we have to decide. We could go two directions, and I think how important we decide where we want to go is defining to where we want to be. So it's kind of, I think, exciting and nervous at the same time, because I think everybody in this room that is at least a native of Wyoming knows when we crossed over 500,000 people. It's happened twice in my 45 years of existence. So now we're probably so far past 500,000 people that we won't drop back below 500,000 like it did, you know, in the 80s. So how does that happen? You know, what does that put us in the future? I think that's where land use is going to be an imperative discussion. But again, do we want to say no and be a no? Because we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, that would tell us no. That would be telling somebody no that's moved here, because a lot of the comments come in, when I moved here, this isn't what I expected. You know, I think some of those older generations would look back when we homesteaded, maybe this isn't what they expected. But we're also seeing things out in subdivision world where people are buying and acquiring land, which is very similar to what homesteads were prior to like 1890, 40 acre parcels going up for homestead. And so I feel like we're in this second homesteading, only it's a different group of demographic representation. Not a bunch of farmers coming out. But they are farmers because they're buying ag land. And I think it's our community has to be on top of it to make sure people understand what they're getting into. this is arid country. This, you know, you can't just, we have blow sand that's got just pieces of topsoil that's keep the sand in place. And when the topsoil is disturbed, that blow sand's going to end up in Nebraska. That's what created the sand hills, I believe. So I think we have a lot to think about and discuss. So anyway.
That was your education from the planning office. And I think his moral of his story is that we want people to come here as refugees rather than mercenaries. But
orderly.
All right. Brett, do you have anything that you want to go over on this proposed plat that we should be aware of? Or
I don't. I think Jim summarized it very well.
Chairman, I look back at some of the previous controversial subdivisions. This is probably the most controversial one-lot subdivision I've seen in 20 years. Pretty cut and dry. One thing that we ran into with a subdivision that Barry gave planning and zoning the best advice, it was dealing with a property on TW Road, and there were covenants, and the landowner, you know, said, well, we have covenants against this property, and he said, yeah, you know, anybody could enforce that covenant at any point in time just because you're going with the subdivision. And I think that's the key thing. We did disclose that the covenants in here could be enforced. They're on the plat. It wouldn't eliminate the lot, but maybe the land uses and what they're doing and what they're not doing and number of houses. The landowners have the tools to enforce that. They just probably need to go get civil attorneys and enforce what they value or what they want to protect. So.
Okay, Commissioner, what's your pleasure?
Move to approve the covenant, or the covenant,
Yoder
Empire. Yeah, the Yoder Empire responding to homes. Minor subdivision for the Yoder family.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the Yoder minor subdivision. We have the motion before us, which would allow us for a time of public comment on the Yoder minor subdivision. Is there any public comment on this proposed subdivision? Public comment. Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment, which would bring us, commissioners, to time and discussion before we vote on this.
What are our alternatives?
Tell one person that he can do whatever he wants to, and tell another person that he's got to not do it. I don't think that I'm in a position where I can tell somebody that they can't do what his neighbor can.
And I think that if you review the comments that we did receive in writing, most of them pertain to the larger parcel that is not included in this minor subdivision.
This isn't the scary one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and unless there's anything opinion-wise that you would like to hear from the county attorney on, I think we can go ahead and vote on this.
Oh, I would always like to hear from the county attorney.
Mr. Chairman, I don't really have anything to add. The Yoders follow the law. They're entitled to do their minor subdivision. That's pretty much the end of the story. There's nothing you can do to really prevent it if you want to stay within the bounds of the law.
There's only one alternative to this whole thing, and that is the dreaded Z word. And I'm not willing to step across that line at this point.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In the comments, we stapled it and gave it to you based on how they were submitted. But the page 2 of the second comments was, I believe, from, no one named anything, but I believe it was from the lady that was living under these covenants that was out there. I did spend a little bit of time in talking to her about what land use and how these comments were. Biggest concern was the number of dwellings that you could specifically have on any one parcel throughout the county. We have to tread very careful because we have ranches that have 5 and 6 and 7 houses. And so I don't have a definitive answer other than 12 acres. At that point, you know, we would start questioning 2-3 houses in that. I did meet with them and talk to them about their sewage. And right now, everything that's happening in this property just doesn't apply. So it comes down to, I think, lack of zoning. And also, we just have to have that hard discussion. And I think there's other tools as well that we could entertain to address some of these not necessarily being zoning.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the Yoder minor subdivision, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Schweller, any other updates out of the planning office while you're here?
No, just, you know, I did go out and meet with the families that bought the Rodner place. I met with all 9 of them. There's probably 3 more that are going to show up and buy some other stuff from the people. But we had one house that was already built in that thing. There were 4 or 5 foundations that were being dug or footprints that were being laid out when I met with them on the 2nd of November. I've got all the addressing applications that we needed. And I think I'd sent some people over to talk to Scott about one of the direct accesses and started working with him. When I met with him, though, I was shocked to look how fast. We had concrete poured in a couple places already and walls framed. And so I do believe a lot of the concerns of moving around are just that. So I spoke to Crook County because they've had 2 Amish communities that have established over the last like 12, 13 years. And I think we just have to recognize and know this is what's going to happen. You know, we don't want to limit or prohibit people from coming to the community if we don't have the rules that would tell them not to come to the community. It was very painful, but I know this is something that's going to happen. And I look at one of the comments that the Amish made was, boy, you should see the roads on that we travel on in Wisconsin. And that was from one of the families that bought they bought 120 acres, you know, out off of Red Hills Road. And he said, we're driving on narrower roads in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has got 4.5 million people. And this is Johnson County, and it's got, you know, 4,500 people in the county. We chose to come here because there were not regulations. And I think that's one thing that we have to remember. People want to come here because of what we do offer and what we do provide. So I got another call for another property. Luckily, it's not off of this road, but it's looking at another large acreage type development. You know, 35 acres plus is coming. And I think that's just going to be something that we start to see as people wanting to come to Wyoming and come to Johnson County. So I am meeting tomorrow with some guys to talk about some areas that are right around the city of Buffalo but are in the county, and I think they want to just talk about, you know, subdividing or so I think we're going to see some of these discussions move forward. Planning and zoning did move to look at 1-hour work sessions over the next 3 months, so I went ahead and ran an advertisement, and that's gearing up to, you know, what do we need to do as far as a new land use plan and moving forward with a comprehensive land use plan, and what do we want versus, I guess, putting together what do you want to wish for in the greatest aspect of where you sit. So it's going to be kind of good. Bill and I visited, and as well as planning and zoning, we don't want any updates to take a two-year time frame. We'd like to try to implement and move forward as quick as possible with what we do do. And then the other thing that I'm keeping track of, and I kind of made a note just based off of what we're seeing, and it's just, as each subdivision has concerns and comments, I've tracked those concerns and comments because there's commonalities with everything that tie back to the land use plan. So it's helping to define what do we want to see in our community? You know, what do we value? Obviously, you guys made a statement this morning about sage grouse. I think we need to be very cautious because there's a massive corridor that's out here in the middle of the county that pretty much breaks our county in half of protection for wildlife, which is would be detrimental to everything. You know, building a house, I think that would impact not just the ranchers grazing cattle. So I think we're going to see a lot of things happen in the next 10 years. And I think it's important to remember, I'm humbled by the cemetery and what the cemetery said one time. We're planning for 100 years. And I thought about that when they moved and established the cemetery. It was in the 1890s. Now it's 120 years later. And so they're thinking another 100 years out. And I think that's what we have to realistically think about is long term. So that's all we've got. And just plugging away.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, the add-on item to the agenda is the Ellis land sale. I think you saw that we received a letter from the Game and Fish about their intentions of purchasing this ranch in southern Johnson County. I received a call yesterday afternoon from our area Game and Fish Commission member, Mr. Pete Duby, because it is their intention to utilize Access Yes money to purchase this land. To do that, because of a legislative requirement, to use the Access Yes money for that, they must have local support for that decision. When I spoke with the deputy director of the Game and Fish, after speaking with Mr. Duby, he kind of indicated that they were full steam ahead on the purchase with or without the Access Yes money, but his hope that Johnson County would write a letter of support for this purchase so that they could use the Access Yes money to pay for that land acquisition in southern Johnson County. The Game and Fish Commission is meeting right now in, I believe, Rock Springs. I do have the phone number of the deputy director if either of you would like to discuss this matter with him further. I shared Commissioner Greeno's concern about the loss of public lands, or private lands to public lands. I shared my specific concern about weed control by the Game and Fish on their property, and specifically Medusa Head Bentonata, and then also concerns from adjacent landowners about the ability to maintain fences and also if they needed to move livestock across this what would be now a piece of publicly owned land. So that is what is before you. So I need some guidance.
My guidance is I don't recommend any letter to the Game and Fish to purchase any more land. I think they already have enough.
Okay. I will convey to the deputy director that desire the commissioners to decline to send any letter either in support or...
Not in support.
Okay.
I'd like to send one and say we have concerns about the Game and Fish only owning land and going from public to, I mean, from private to public. Fine, Bill, but I had already visited with Bob about this when I saw that, and it makes me very uncomfortable.
All right, and we'll have no action on that, which means I don't have to write a letter. So, next agenda item before we move into executive session for discussion on a couple pieces of pending litigation with our county attorney and our civil deputy. Brings us to a time of public comment. So is there any public comment for the county commissioners? Mr. Waller.
Where was that? Where's this land at that the game fish was looking at acquiring?
South side of Powder River Canyon.
It's almost down to the Natron County line. It's right on right next to Hazleton on top.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I think part of it is in Natron County.
Yeah, it might be. It's darn close. I know
it
that.
Probably is.
In Washakie, it might be part of it. Might be across the line, but it's right there.
Right down by the Edward Taylor.
Yep.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have a chunk of land for them to take out of production. But very big on the sales ranch. It seemed to have a lot of money.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I'm going to close public comment. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business that you needed us to transact before we move into executive session? Jody, any additional business? Mr. Waller, I will get your Mylar signed here shortly.
Okay.
We'll get that back to you today.
Okay. I will forward it on. I let Brent know. We'll be in touch. If you guys have any questions, let me know.
With that, I entertain a motion to go into executive session pursuant to Wyoming statutes covering pending litigation.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?